these apparitions of people who die suddenly and tragically, and in Lennon's case, I can understand him kind of hanging around for a little bit, even though he was somewhat spiritual and I think probably would have enjoyed moving on because of this tragic death. He may still want to be around.
Well, you know, that sounds all possible. You know, I mean, especially he had a great love for the Dakota. You know, Yoko and Sean still live there. So, I mean, it's a sense of home. So, I mean, obviously be a protecting spirit, I'd assume, as he still stayed away. I think one of the strange things we were talking about with Rosemary's Baby, if you remember the movie where the girl jumps from the building and she dies on the alleyway when Rosemary Woodhouse finds her, that was the exact location where Lennon was shot.
Oh, my gosh.
In 1980 from the film.
That's something.
There's a lot of strange similarities that happened with the making of the film and with William Castle. And, you know, the strange thing about it was that when he made the movie, he didn't think very much of it. I mean, he wanted to actually be the director, but they got Roman Polanski. And Polanski asked him, well, can you find a house in Hollywood for me and my very pregnant wife, Sharon Tate? So William Castle was the one who rented the house that Sharon Tate was murdered in. And after the movie Rosemary's Baby was made, William Castle got a number of death threats. People who were condemning him because they said he had released the son of the devil and that, you know, he was to die in a very horrible death. And it really didn't bother Castle too much until all at once he started to be hit with these terrible kidney stones in which he had to have surgery and injections. And one day he was in the hospital. He was in the hospital at the same time the composer of the soundtrack just happened to be rushed into the hospital with a brain clot, and he died. The composer did. And Castle lost a great chance to do the movie The Out-of-Towners. He lived for many years after that, but he was always haunted with the idea that he received all these death threats because a lot of people had viewed that he had brought evil into the world with Rosemary's Baby.
Well, can you imagine, Gary, what would happen if so many people, maybe thousands, maybe millions, just continually think negative thoughts about you, and this is probably what was happening to him? I mean, eventually it's bound to have some kind of an effect.
Well, I think that's what he agreed. In his autobiography, I Want to Scare the Pants Off America, I think he makes some of those very same thoughts, you know. And I guess after you watch Rosemary's Baby and you think about, you know, knowing what happened with it, I mean, it's just really strange to me when I see this very pregnant Mia Farrow walk around with this butcher knife. And then you think about the murder of Sharon Tate that occurred on August 9th, 1969, the movie was made. I mean, some of the similarities are just really spooky and disturbing on the, you know, the context of the cult that wanted to take the baby, the not 8-month pregnant Rosemary, the butcher knives, the whole thing with the Manson murders, and it was just done a few months before the murders. And I mean, that's just strange. So maybe it's the negative energy. The kidney stones were definitely no fun. He had to have a number of surgeries and matter of fact, he thought he was dying, but he managed to survive.
That was a scary movie that I think eventually went on and became a cult-type movie, too, didn't it?
Oh, it did, yeah. I mean, it was pretty scary in 1969. And one of the funny things about the movie was the actual casting on who they wanted to play Guy and Rosemary Woodhouse. The first choice for Guy Woodhouse was Robert Redford. And the first choice for Rosemary was Tuesday Weld. So, you know, the whole movie could have been changed dramatically if they'd managed to get their first choices as actor and actress in it. But Mia Farrow was perfect in the role.